Open your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. I suppose it would have to be classified as one of my favorite passages that I like to preach from. God chose to cleanse Naaman. And we'll try to encourage you from our look into this passage this morning. We want to read all 26 verses of the chapter. It would rather leave it open-ended anywhere if we stopped anywhere in the middle. I realize that's a lengthy reading, but I hope we've got time. And we'll look into this passage here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll read this passage and bring the message. Father, again, it's my privilege and a real privilege to be able to stand in this place. Read the Word publicly and preach it. And Father, we can do so without fear. And we appreciate this particular passage that we're going to read today and trust that we'll be able to glean from it some things that we need to know. We'll be careful to praise you, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of this leprosy." One went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of remnant. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Therefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." It was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee. Thou shalt be clean." Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on..." Get these pages apart. call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, dost thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the sayings of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He turned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. He urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and leaneth on thy hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? He said, All is well, my master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Naaman said, Be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go. They departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, Whence camest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Now I read from verse 20 on, because I want you to see that rebellion and deceit and deceitfulness can bring great tragedy even to one that walked in fellowship, in this particular case with Elisha. But we want to look back into this particular passage. Let me just give you a little bit of introduction to the story before us. Naaman is captain of the host of Syria. The Bible said he was a great man with his master. That gives all indication that his name would have been a renowned name among the Syrians. And the Bible said he was honorable, something that ought to be desired today. The Bible indicates beyond any shadow of a doubt, because it speaks of him as a man of valor, that he was a brave man. Yet there was a problem. The Bible said he was a leper. Now, leprosy is typical of sin. Leprosy separates. Leprosy disfigures. And leprosy kills. And I just mentioned those three things in relation to leprosy as we think in terms of it representing sin in the Bible. Is it not true that leprosy or sin separates, sin disfigures, and sin kills folks today? So that gives us something of the setting. Now I want to just pick some thoughts from the text. First of all, testimony means something. Testimony means something. As some of you might recall, there was a president that a while back that made the statement that government is all moral, which is to say that government has no morals. I don't believe that, and I hope you don't believe that, because testimony means something. Now, testimony of a nation means something in this world today. It has been said of the United States of America and its people that there's not another nation on planet Earth where the men of that nation are willing to go and die for the freedom and liberty of another people. That's quite a testimony to me. Means something to me. When I hear of the valor of our folks and the stand that they have taken, and if that be true of this nation, how true is it then of God? And we as believers, that we bear testimony of what God has done for us. Now, there's a little maid that was taken out of Israel, had every right to be bitter and angry at life. I mean, I wouldn't appreciate it if somebody had come and enslaved me. I'll guarantee you I wouldn't appreciate it. I know me well enough to know that it would have not been my idea of the place to be at the time, but here was a little maid that had been taken captive out of Israel. And she did not allow bitterness to take over in her life. She shared the truth of God with her captors. Said, I wish the master was down in the land of Israel with the prophet of God. Now, they kind of missed out on that testimony, but they'll find it out later on that the king can do nothing, but the prophet of God can and will do something. But I simply interject a point here that I think is important. A person can lose their testimony. And this young maid did not lose her testimony. She bore witness of God's faithfulness even in her servitude. I wonder if we were to ask ourselves, what would I do under these circumstances? Would we continue to serve the Lord, or would we become disgruntled and say, I'm going to give up this thing? You know, there was an old song written years ago. This outlaw business done got out of hand. Well, I'd almost say this preaching business got out of hand if they were to put me into servitude and bind me to another and demand my service at no charge to them. So testimony means something, and this little maid bore great testimony of God's faithfulness. Truth of the matter is, if there was a hero in this particular chapter, it had to be this little maid. And Gehazi failed. Elisha didn't get too deeply involved. But this little maid was right in the midst of it all. And she bore testimony of what the Lord had done and would do. The second thing I want us to see in our text today is that a secular or unsaved man is no help in spiritual matters. I get that. We don't like to make the distinctions today, but there is a distinction. God makes a distinction between His children and those who are not His children. And He uses His children. A secular or an unsaved man is no help in spiritual matters. You can go back Old Testament on through the New Testament, the early history of the church, and you'll find out that any time that an unsaved person got involved, there was a problem. The Apostle Paul records an event that occurred about a Jew that was basically a deceiver. He was one that was looking for profit. And that Jewish fellow that wanted monetary gain decided he'd cast out devils like Paul and others had done. And the spirit that was in that demon-possessed man said, "I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?" And you talk about scattering a crowd. The Bible said he fell on them and wounded them and drove them out. The natural man cannot take the things of the Spirit of God and do anything with them. First of all, he'll not ever understand them. But a secular or unsaved man is no help in spiritual matters. Ahaziah is the son of Ahab that was king of Israel. That man was an extremely wicked man. And I would say of Ahaziah, first of all, his father taught him nothing about God. Mainly because he didn't know anything about God. Second thing about him is he learned only the worst. He picked up all the traits that were bad from his father. And the third thing is he could do nothing for Naaman. He was useless in this matter. As we think about a secular and unsaved man is no help in spiritual matters, what Naaman needed only God could provide. And the same is true of us today. First thing, you need knowledge of God. You realize that every unsaved man on planet Earth today needs to know about God. Preached on it a few weeks ago, how shall they call upon Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Then Paul added that passage, and if you were to look at my feet, and I try to keep at least socks over them whenever folks are around, I don't mind going barefooted when I'm by myself, but My feet don't look real pretty, but he said, how beautiful are the feet of them. Amen. That preach the gospel of peace and carry good tidings to folks. So there's some folks that have beautiful feet, even though they may not be the prettiest thing you ever saw. But this man needed to the knowledge of God, and the king of Israel couldn't do him any good. He needed faith in God, and only God can work that marvelous work of grace in our lives and bring us out of darkness into the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, set us free. So we see in this then that a secular, unsaved man is no help in spiritual matters. The third thing I want us to see is that there is a prophet in Israel. There is a prophet in Israel. Elisha sent word to the king, said, send him over here to me so that he'll know that there's a prophet here. Well, there's a lot of things that are unfolded for man in the Bible. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we know them more commonly as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in dire straits one time, and Daniel approached the thing like a man of God ought to approach it. He went home and told his three friends what was going on, how that there was a sentence of death upon the wise men of the Babylonian kingdom or empire, and it was soon to be carried out. They began to pray and ask God. Daniel, not long after, got the message from the Lord. He went back and he acquired the audience with Nebuchadnezzar. Went in and he said to Nebuchadnezzar, what you've asked, there's not a man on earth can do. But there is a God in heaven. Well, we need to know that there's a God in heaven. We also need to know that there's a prophet around. That there's somebody that knows how to take a text and read it and preach it and tell the glorious story of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Naaman needed faith in God. And only God can do that. This man needed what only God could provide. Only God can provide a call in a person's life. Now, I can tell you now the time I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His marvelous, amazing grace. If they hadn't changed that building. Now, if they've torn down that building, I don't know that I could pick the place on the ground. But I'll tell you what, I remember when the Lord saved me. The call of God is just as real in our lives, and only God can do that, and only God can use that man to reach out with the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that faith is born in the heart and in the life of that person. There is a prophet of God in Israel, and Elijah sent word to the king, send him down here. I want him to know that there's a prophet here. Naaman came to him. At least he was wise enough to do that. But as is the case many times, he rejected the word of God. He went away. With some hesitation, he went up or went down to Jordan, or over to Jordan, the river. Others around him said, if he'd bid you do some great thing, you'd have done it. But he simply asked you to go dip 7 times in River Jordan. Fourth thing I want us to see in this text this morning is that Naaman's thinking was wrong. Bible said that Naaman said, I thought. Well, he thought the waters of Abana and Pharphar were better than those in Jordan. In fact, better than all of the water in Israel. And said so. Now, we can identify Abana rather easily. And it is a beautiful place. Just from reading of it, I've never gone and stood or sat on the banks of that river, but it's a beautifully laid out river. Has crystal clear water running in it. A lot of fanfare goes on there. They have the places of picnics and so forth. At least they did have at one time. I'm sure that Pharphar was much of the same type of presentation as Abana was. And the truth is that Abana and Pharphar may have looked better than Jordan. Again, I can only express to you what I've read of Jordan, but they say it's not a very pretty river. You know, there are pretty rivers and there's not so pretty rivers. There's some pretty places along the old Brazos River. And then there's some not so pretty places along that old Brazos River. There's a fellow wrote a book, and I'll just give you the title. You can hunt it sometime if you ever want to read it. The Death of a River, or Goodbye to a River, really. And a fellow from Weatherford, Texas, wrote the book. And he put his canoe in above or right below Possum Kingdom Dam. Went all the way down to where now the Granberry Dam is. And he gives a history of that stretch of river in there. And it's worth reading. Because that was kind of where I was raised up, around in that area. That makes it a pretty good place, Doug. Pretty good place, because I didn't survive. No, I'm teasing you about that, but I recommend you read it. But I'm talking about rivers. It may have been Abana and Pharphar looked a lot better. Do you realize that there are religions in this world today that have a lot of fanfare? They have their smoke, they have their whirling wheels, and they have this, and they have that. They have the beautiful garb, and so forth. All of those things that would add beauty to the picture. And I think purely God has to be in this, but God wasn't in that. God was down at the River Jordan. Naaman's thinking was wrong. None of these places had the cleansing power of the River Jordan. Jordan's the place of escape, the place of liberation, the place of freedom. Go down and dip in it 7 times. Final thought this morning. Didn't hear an amen out of anybody. Thought surely that everybody would be ready by now. Faith in action. Faith in action. Naaman believed the message. The second thing is we see faith in action. He acted on what he heard. He dipped himself 7 times in River Jordan. And the final thing is, he received cleansing. Now, I'm going to tell you in application today so that you see it. There's one and only one place of cleansing, and that's Jesus Christ. You've heard the message. I trust you'll act on what you've heard. you'll respond and by faith trust Jesus Christ. And you can receive cleansing this morning in this place at this time through Jesus Christ the Lord. Quick conclusion, three thoughts. God declares His Son the way, the truth, and the life. Receive Him today. Act on what you hear now. We're going to extend the invitation in just a moment. Give you the opportunity to, by faith, trust Christ. You might want to come forward. I would recommend it to make public confession of personal faith in Jesus Christ as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Musicians, make your way to the front and prepare the invitation number. I'll pray with the rest. Father, I appreciate your word today. Trust that you'll meet the need in hearts and lives. And Father, as we come to the time that we speak of as the invitation, I pray that the Holy Spirit invites souls that know not Christ to come to faith in Him today. There'll be response in this particular portion of the service. For again, we pray in the name that is above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ.